Well, this morning we're continuing our series on the name of God, and I want to really encourage you as we study to let it just feed your soul. Amen. Even as I was writing it, it was feeding my soul. Amen. Proverbs 18:10, our theme scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I tell you, sometimes you can't make a long prayer, but you can say Jesus. You may not have time to make a long prayer, but you can say Jesus. Amen. As I said many times, that's all you can get out is Jesus. You don't have time to say, help me. All you can say is Jesus. But you know what? He has never, ever failed me. He has never let me down. He is my king, and he is my rock. Well, last week we studied how in the Bible, when God calls somebody, he changes their name. And I said with a change of name should come a change of heart, nature. Amen. Change of name, change of nature. And how important the name was, because it really carried the person's personality and even sometimes their future. So we're going to be looking at that today. But we want to look at the power of the name. And all of you know this story about Goliath and David. But I just want to point out to you something in this story, because there's so many elements and so many messages have been preached. And maybe you've noticed this before. But just let me read it from 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, you know, he'd been there for 40 days threatening the armies of Israel, this giant, this 9-foot guy. And nobody had dared come out. Now, after 40 days, here comes this little youth. This maybe 17-year-old little teenager comes out. And he doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have any armor. He doesn't have a helmet. He doesn't have a shield. It looks like all he's got is a sling. And I can imagine Goliath can't believe this. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Now let me tell you something what the Bible says. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are what? You know what? He couldn't see the weapon that David had. People will look at you and they won't know that you are armed and dangerous. They won't know you're armed and dangerous because they're looking for physical, tangible things. But you know, it's the word that is the most powerful thing. And you can't see it. You can only see the effects of it. Amen. So looking at David, he couldn't see anything to worry him or to scare him or to make him have a second thought. Because he was looking and all he could see was this little probably scrawny teenager with a bag and a sling. And when Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Satan will look at you and say, you're not going to amount to nothing. Your future's over. I messed you up last year. You're not going anywhere. You've got no hope. That's what Goliath did. He looked at him and he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Well, you're not a bishop. You're not a PhD this, or you're not a doctorate of that. He disdained him. You know why? As I said before, he couldn't see the most powerful weapon that David was carrying. And I'm way ahead of, because you know what it is, don't you? What was he carrying? Well, he was carrying the slingshot. He could see that. It was the name of the Lord. When you are carrying the name of the Lord, you have the most powerful weapon this world has ever seen. But you can't see it. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. And so he looked at him and he couldn't see anything to worry about. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair complexion, countenance. So the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And of course, the Philistines worshipped several gods, Ashtoreth and Dagon, and of all these other fallen beings. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. And then David pulls out his weapon. And it wasn't the sling. It wasn't the stones. But I'm going to tell you the weapon that David carried that was the most powerful. It was invisible. You couldn't see it because the Bible says it's the invisible things. Everything that you can see is going to pass away. Everything that you can lay your hand on is going to have an ending. They say anything that has a beginning has an ending. And of course, that's why our God is the eternal God, which was, which is, and which is to come. Amen. The Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. You see, as I said every week I say, when he says, let there be, it was so. See, he couldn't see the weapon David was carrying. And Satan cannot see the weapon you're carrying. Your enemy in the flesh can't see the weapon you're carrying. And they'll disdain you. And they'll say, man, I got this. I'll take care of him or her. But they weren't understanding that David had a secret weapon. Then David said to the Philistine, you're coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But here's my weapon. I'm coming to you. You notice he didn't say, I'm coming to you with a sling and a stone. That was not what David was coming to. Yes, he had those, but that was not really his weapon. The sling and the stone was not his weapon. What I'm trying to tell you is you need to get yourself a real weapon. Money is not going to be your weapon. Your family will not be your weapon. Your job will not be your weapon. Those can't really save you when you're facing a Goliath, right? The Goliath could be sickness, right? The Goliath could be sickness. The Goliath could be finances. But your true weapon is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Once we understand that it's not the physical things that are going to help us, it's when you drop to your knees or when you look up to heaven and say, Lord, and you call upon the name of the Lord. When Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, fire came down from heaven. Amen. When we put faith in the name of the Lord, that's our weapon. The sling was just a means. He didn't even really need the sling. God could have just dropped a rock on his head if he had wanted to. Because the weapon was not the stones. Amen. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel. See, when we're under God's protection, Satan isn't really coming against us. He's trying to get to God. So we just need to move out of the way and let our Father fight the battle. Somewhere in the Old Testament it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, we sometimes try to get out there and fight, and we need to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It was an invisible thing that defeated Goliath. Someone else said that David never called him a giant. We call him a giant. But David didn't call him a giant. He called him the you uncircumcised Philistine. You know what that means? You're not in covenant with the God I worship. He doesn't know you. Amen. He doesn't know you. You're not in covenant. The circumcision was the sign of the covenant. Amen? You're not in covenant with him. You're not on his side. In fact, you're against him. You're coming with me with a sword and a shield, and there was the armor bearer there too. But it doesn't matter. One person with God is the majority. One person with God is the majority. Doesn't matter how many other people are against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? You know, when I was younger, I studied judo. And one of the things about judo, if you're doing it properly, a lot of people, when they're first learning, they don't really understand that it's not really so much about strength. You know, because my teacher was not a big guy. He was just about maybe my height. And he would be throwing all these big 300-pound guys. They couldn't even stand on their feet. As soon as he touched them, it was like they were on their back. And I would look at him and just kind of smile. How do you do that? And I could not stand with him either. He would just clear my feet from under me. And after a while, I started to realize his technique. And it was to not resist, but use the other person's strength. If they pushed, he pulled. So in fact, that overbalanced them, because they're already pushing, and then you pull, and they're overbalanced. You see, it's not for us to resist Satan. It says submit to God. Then you can resist Satan. So when the enemy comes against you, don't you try and resist him. You turn around, submit to God. And then that invisible weapon, the name of the Lord. See, you can bring out the name of the Lord. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess to the glory of God that he is Lord. It's going to happen. I preached a message a long time ago. You either bow down now or you fall down later. Amen. So the secret weapon was the power of the name of the Lord. It wasn't David's skill with a sling. It wasn't even the stones. It was the name of the Lord. Because he said, listen, it's the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. It's not these soldiers. It's not me. You're actually fighting God. And that's a terrible thing to try and do. That's a no-win situation. And that was what the power was. It was in the power of the name of God. Let's look at a New Testament example of that, where we see that the power is in the name of God. But it's just not saying the name. A lot of people can say Jesus, and nothing happens. But here's the key. It's faith in the name. That's the difference. In Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 2, we see that the two of the disciples went down, Peter and John. They had Jesus had just resurrected. They had just had the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, to beg to them that entered in the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Hey, look on us. Don't you understand? We don't have no money. See, it's the invisible things that are the most powerful. Look, if he had looked at them, he wouldn't have stretched out his bowl. Because if he had really, he was probably like this and he just saw some feet. And Peter said, look on us. We're not rich. We're not dressed in silks. We don't have fabrics. Look on us. That's not what we can give you. Amen. Most of the time when people need help, maybe it's money, and we are not in the position to help them that way. But if you're a child of God, there is something you can do. Look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. He says, look really good. Maybe Peter's sandals were scraped, and maybe he had a patched gown or something. Take another look. We don't have money. Silver and gold, I don't have any. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, lots of people could say Jesus, but that wasn't even it. You can say Jesus, and it won't happen. It's faith in the name. It's not just saying Jesus. It's not just saying, thou uncircumcised Philistine, if you don't believe. But you also have to mix the power of the name with faith in the name. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people together ran together in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why are you astounded at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power? We don't have no power. Amen. The power is invisible. We don't really have any. Even if we did have money, that's not really power. That's going to fade away. Don't look at us. Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness? Some people have a real self-righteous attitude and they think that gives them power. No, 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 no. It's not by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Then he goes on to explain, but he talking about Jesus, but he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now he's going to reveal the real secret here. Now he's going to tell him the truth. And his name, but it's through faith in his name. That's the key. It's not even just saying Jesus. You can say Jesus all day if you don't have the relationship and you don't have faith in the name. Amen. Hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So there is power in the name. But for us to apply it, we also have to have faith in the name. That's what this says. And his name through faith in his name. Because many people could say Jesus, and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Amen. So it's not just the power of the name, but you have to believe this thing. It's just like Elisha, when he saw Elijah carried up, he had to try it out for himself. He had caught the mantle, and he says, I'm going to try this out for myself. And he goes up to Jordan, and he strikes the water, and he says, let's see if this thing works. Amen? Let's see what happens when I try it out. When you step out in faith, God will never let you down. He has never let me down. This is our 10th year, and if I go back 10 years, it seems amazing how many years has passed, but some of you can remember when we had no heat. When we had water coming down in various places. Amen. But you know what? Faith in his name. This is not my church. Amen. Look on me. I don't have no money. But such as I have faith in the name of Jesus. That he has determined that there be a church here. And because of his work and his plan and his determination and faith in the name. Amen. 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 Sister Johnny. Amen. 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 You see, he did it for me. He can do it for you. Amen. It's faith in the name that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You see, but you have to run into it. The only way you run into it is if you believe it. You have to run into it. The name of the Lord is a strong, it can be a strong tower, but if you don't believe it, you're just going to be out there. But if you believe that it is a saving name, like Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation. You know, that covers a lot of stuff. That covers healing, that covers finances, that covers family, that covers situation. It's salvation. In any other. That means he died for my healing. He died for my peace. That salvation covers a lot of stuff. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. David was safe. He had no weapons that anyone could see, and yet he was covered with the most powerful weapon ever. You come in with your sword and your spear, you're not even in covenant. God doesn't know you. God doesn't know you. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to take some time and now look at some of the names of God in the Old Testament and what they mean and when they were used, because you need to be able to take out a scripture sometimes and say, it is written. It is written. Hallelujah. It is written. That's how we will defeat the enemy, not with something visible, not with money, not with jobs, not with a family friend, but with the name of the Lord. It is written. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, we see that when men and people went through certain things, they gave God a name. In Genesis 22, verse 10, we know the story. God had told Abraham to take his only son, whom he loved, take him up onto this mountain, 3 days' journey, and to kill him as a sacrifice. Well, you know the story. He was about to do that, Genesis 22, 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. You see, sometimes we're going to go through some testing. You want the blessing, or you want the testimony. They say you can't get the testimony without the test. And God wanted to prove Abraham and to test him because he wanted to see what he would do of his own free will. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Do you understand what was happening? On his way up the mountain, when Isaac asked him, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham made a prophecy. Maybe he didn't even realize what he was saying. He said, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. Do you understand that we should have been Isaac on that altar? We should be the ones to pay for our own sins, our own problems, our own issues. But the Lord himself would provide. And that's where the name came from. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. You know where that place is? It's on the same mount in Jerusalem where 2,000 years later the Lord provided, where Jesus was crucified. So when we say Jehovah Jireh, I know we apply it to provisions, but it's really talking about the fact that God took our place, that he provided a sacrifice instead of us. I am so grateful for God's mercy, because when I have messed up, I can say Jehovah Jireh. When it should have been me that should be suffering, when I should be paying for my own sins, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. I know we apply it to finances and all other things, but in essence, it was because on that day, instead of Isaac dying, instead of me and you paying the penalty, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provided. Call the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. You know what that means? 2,000 years later, some Roman soldiers came up that mountain and started to make some crosses. And they started hammering together some crosses. And a little bit later, they brought this Jewish preacher, this so-called rabbi, and they nailed him to a cross. And in that mount, Jehovah Jireh, he provided instead of you and me. When you look at that cross, what it's really saying is Jehovah Jireh. Abraham didn't understand what he was saying when Isaac asked him, but who's going to be the sacrifice? Instead of you and me, Jehovah Jireh. When it should have been us paying for our sins, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent. See, all those people had sinned. And God allowed them to be bitten by serpents, and they were all going to die out in the desert. But God told Moses, you see, under the law, they all should have died. But God told Moses to break the law. How did Moses break the law? He made a golden image, a brazen image of a serpent. Under law, what does it say? Thou shalt make no graven image. But in order to save those people, God allowed grace and broke his own law. He said, go make a brazen serpent. I can imagine Moses said, come again? What? But God, that's on your tablets that you had me write. The only way to save those people was for them to look upon the object of their sin. See, it was the law that was broken that provided grace. So whenever you hear that name, Jehovah Jireh, don't just think of money and provisions. Think of the fact that Jesus took our place. He took our place. He was that ram caught in the thicket. That's why he said in John, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent. Thing is, most of us, most of this just goes over our head. We don't really look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going on. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide a sacrifice. I know we just like the provide part, but it's really provide a sacrifice. That's what it's about, a sacrifice. Then we have the second name here that I want to talk about, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Last week, Friday, I told you, I started to get real sick. My temperature is 101, and I told my wife, I said, I am going to shake this off. And it lasted one day. She said, that's weird. What happened? I said to her, listen, I've declared in church publicly that I don't get sick. So I'm standing on that. So I had a temperature of 101 for about 24 hours, and it looked like it was trying to do something. And I'm not special. I have no secret weapon except the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. I ran into the name of the Lord and said, Jesus, help me. I've stood behind this pulpit and said, I'm not getting sick. Lord, I call upon your name right now. It's nothing to do with me. I'm nothing. I am nothing. It's all about him. Exodus 15:24, and the people murmured against Moses. We talked about this. They had just had this great victory, coming, crossing the Red Sea, and they're all happy. And then suddenly, after about 3 days, they realize they're in a desert. You know, your greatest time of weakness is after you've had a great victory. Because you're all on a high now. You think, okay, from here on in, it's just going to be plain sailing. The devil says, that's what you think. He's coming to try and pull the rug right from under you. So suddenly now they realize they're in the wilderness of Shur. Anyone remember what Shur means? It's current in our news today. It means wall. The devil built a wall. Didn't want them to get to the promised land. Amen. Anyway, they're in the wilderness, and they come across some water, but it's bitter, and they can't drink it. And of course, it says the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Think about this. Think about this. For the last 2 years or 3 years, they have seen 10 of the greatest miracles, demonstrations of the Almighty God on the planet Earth ever been. They finally saw the Nile River, the second longest, greatest river in the whole world, turn into blood. They saw lice. They saw darkness over the land of Egypt, and yet there was light over their land. Finally, they saw the slaying of the firstborn. And then lastly, they saw the Red Sea part. And now they're saying, we don't have any water. Is that a problem with God? The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? But it's our doubt, our unbelief. As I said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower only if you run into it. If you're going to stay and look at it from the outside, it does you no good. You have to run into it. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. I talked about this. Think about this. They're in the desert. There's no water, but there's suddenly a tree. There is suddenly a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters. Anyone remember the name of the water? We talked about this. Mara, from which we get the name Mary, which means bitter. But when the branch was cast into the water, it became sweet. Amen. If you're being bitter today, if you're really upset, you need to get the branch cast into your soul. Amen. That's the only way you're going to have some sweetness. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Some of the things you're going through is God seeing if you really believe him. Do you really believe me, or are you just saying it? That's what Satan said about Job. Listen, the reason why he's serving you is because you blessed him. If you just put forth your hand and take away the hedge, then he will curse you to his face. Sometimes there's a conversation going on. Satan is accusing you. Say, listen, the only reason why they're serving you is because you've blessed them. Take away a few things. Let's see if they still come to church. Kill their child. Let's see if, like David, they can get up and come to the house of God and worship. Wow. Think about that one. Your child just died. He gets up and he still comes to church and worship. That's something. That is faith. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, that word diligently, hearken means listen to the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in his sight. See, there are some conditions here. There are some conditions to this name, using this name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. There's some conditions to it, okay? If thou wilt diligently listen to the voice of the Lord and will do that which is right in his sight, isn't that what it says? And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, that's where that name Jehovah Rapha comes from. But there were conditions to invoking that name. Psalms 30 verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. You healed me. You see, we can call upon the name of the Lord, but there are some conditions. Number one, you have to put faith in the name of the Lord. It's not just calling upon the name of the Lord. And if you want to say Jehovah Rapha, there are some conditions. You have to be able to say you're seeking him, what? Diligently. Diligently. The wise men found Jesus because they were seeking diligently. They didn't just give up. They were seeking for over 2 years. They didn't give up just because when they came to Jerusalem, they couldn't find him. They were determined not to go back until they had seen Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood was determined to touch the hem of his garment. There was a crowd. She says, but if I can just press through and touch the hem of his garment. You see, this Jehovah Rapha name, you have to be diligent. You have to have a made up mind. You have to be determined. Amen. You have to be determined. You have to press through. But if you do, there's a promise. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. You see, God gives a promise with his name. Amen. Every name has a promise. Jehovah Jireh is a promise. I am your sacrifice. I am your provider. Hallelujah. Then we have Jehovah Rapha. That means he is our healer. There is a promise with each name. Jesus, there came a promise. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save. See, God's names all come with a promise. They're just not a name. They're just not like Tom or Harry, but they come with a promise. They are supernatural, amen. But they come with a promise, and some come with some conditions. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then you won't get sick. You won't get sick. That's a promise from the Lord, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. We're going to go to the third name. There are seven. There's more than seven, but I've chosen seven names today. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. In other words, the Lord our covering, the Lord my protection. You know, the Lord my field marshal, because when you have a banner, that identifies you. An army carries a banner, a standard. Hallelujah. Exodus 17:11. You see, this banner thing has to do with war. Israel was still in the desert, and Amalek decided to attack them and destroy them. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand. So Moses went up into a mountain looking over the field, and whenever he held up his hand, Israel prevailed. So as long as he could hold up his hand, Israel kept winning the battle. But whenever he got tired and his hand came down, they started to lose. But you know the story that Caleb and Hur came and they held up his hands. And so Israel won. And let's read the rest of the story. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. You know why? The Lord was their covering. Amalek came out to destroy Israel, but when they fought under the banner of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord became their covering. Isn't that what it says in Psalms 91? What does it say, Psalms 91? Anyone find Psalms 91? That's part of it. That's verse 4. I want to read from verse 1. Someone find Psalm 91, and let's start from verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide what? Under Jehovah Nissi. You know, it would be better, it says in Matthew 18, not to mess with one of his little ones. Don't you understand? Their angel, their covering, always beholds my face. You know you have a guardian? Did you know that? Now, when the president goes everywhere he goes, you know what? He's got some secret service. And they're there to take a bullet for him. When Reagan got shot, that's exactly what happened. The Secret Service guy dived in front. Do you understand that if we will stay under the covering, Jehovah becomes our banner? The banner over us is his love. Hallelujah. Do you understand that it also means he fights for us? Because if you're under his banner, you're under his protection. It's his army. Joshua did not fight the battle of Jericho. Now, I want you to listen closely to this scripture again. Verse 14. This was when Moses, they were still in the desert, and God tells Moses, I want you to write this incident down, specially for who? Who is this being written down for? Read it. Verse 14. And rehearse it in the ears of who? I wonder why that is. I'll tell you why. I'll spoil it. I'll just tell you why. Because a few years later, 40 years later, when they come now to Jordan, Joshua's getting ready to cross over Jordan, thinking, how are we going to fight these people in Jericho? They've got this wall around them. But he goes up in the hill looking over, and he meets the commander. You see, when you have met the commander, you don't have to fight. Joshua didn't end up having to fight. You see, God told him, Remember how I fought this battle. You were fighting under my battle. You were fighting under my banner when you destroyed Amalek. God told Moses, write it down. Write this down for a memorial, a memory in a book. And I want you to keep telling Joshua. Remind him about this. Because 40 years after they wandered in the wilderness, here they come now fighting another enemy. And I can imagine that Joshua, wait a minute. Why did Moses write this thing down? And God told him to write it down, especially for me. God has written down some things, especially for you to remember when you come up to your Jericho. It's the commander of the Lord's host. If you stay under the Jehovah Nissi banner, you can't lose. The Bible says that he fought as in the day of battle. As in the day of battle. See, Moses knew, and he built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. I tell you, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. We're going to go on to the next name because we're running out of time. And that is Jehovah Shalom. You know, there's nothing more vital than being at peace. At being at peace. The Lord, our peace. Because you can have money. You can have all the wealth in the world, but if you don't have peace, you can't sleep. There's a lot of rich people can't sleep, right? Having peace is almost, I think, one of the most valuable things, when you can go to bed and just be peace. Paul said, I have learned in whatever place I found myself to be what? To be content. See, it's the peace of God that passes human understanding. How can you be at peace? Can't you see you're in big trouble? Can't you see you're facing Goliath? You don't have any money. You don't have any weapons. How can you be at peace? They're speaking against you. Do you know you're about to lose your job? Do you know they're about to shut off the electricity? Paul said, I've learned. That's a learning experience. Amen. When you see that God can take you, Paul was, you know, when they're recounting all the things that happened to him, you know, beaten, whipped 3 times, left for dead, stoned, shipwrecked. I have a message, but I can't preach it for 2 weeks. The Lord gave me a message about a week ago when this sickness tried to attack me, but we have a guest next week, so you'll have to wait 2 weeks, but I think it's a great word. I'm going to meditate on it some more. When Jehovah is your shalom, you know, that really makes the devil mad. That really makes the devil mad when you're at peace and everything is a storm. My dad told me this story about a great painter who was commissioned to paint this work, and it was to be hung in the United Nations. It was to symbolize peace. And he made this canvas, and it was a big sum of money. And the day of the unveiling, all of these dignitaries and world politicians, and they pulled away the canvas, and the picture showed a storm. And in the picture, there was wind and leaves and lightning, and everybody was kind of looking at each other. Wasn't he supposed to paint a picture of peace? Where is this what we paid him to paint? And so afterwards, you know, the reporter said, well, you know, you've painted a storm. There's leaves and wind and trees bending over. And he says, well, did you look at it carefully? Did you look right in the middle? And right in the middle was a little bird sitting in the nest, just asleep. That's a real definition of peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. It's not that the world is going to be peaceful around you. In fact, Jesus said, when you go into a town, if they receive you, you let your peace remain there. But if they won't receive you, you do what? You take it back with you. You've got to have your own personal peace. Just like we all carry our iPhones around or Androids or whatever. You got to take your peace with you because where you go is going to be a storm. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Not going to be any peace in this world because they have killed the Prince of Peace. But if you have him in you, you can take your peace with you. When everyone is going crazy, when everyone is pulling out their hair, when everyone is mad, you can be just at peace and calm and collected. Let's read the story. I didn't even read the scripture. Judges 6:21. You see, in this story, let me give you the background. Israel, again, as usual, because of being backslid, had been attacked by their enemy. But God had mercy, and he was choosing a judge. And in this time, it was Gideon. Judges 6:21. And Gideon was wanting to make sure that he wasn't hearing voices or anything. He wanted to be absolutely sure that this was going to work out. Judges 6:21, and the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. He had put an altar, and the angel came down and just touched it with a staff, and fire came out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, when it's capitalized like that, it's using the name Jehovah. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." But I want you to notice something, and I've said it before. Every time an angel shows up in the Old Testament, first thing he says is what? Fear not. If you get an angel, he's going to tell you, fear not. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Sometimes we're facing some really ugly, fearful-looking situations. God is wanting you to know when you call upon Jehovah Shalom, you're going to have peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Isn't that what Jesus said? Because Jehovah Shalom is his name. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Notice also, too, when these names are being given, there's usually an altar there somewhere. Did you notice that? Moses built an altar. Amen. There's usually an altar involved with the name of the Lord. So you're going to have to do some praying, too. When you call upon this name, there's an altar involved somewhere. And the Lord, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah. See, when you have the peace of God, it passes human understanding. Like, and I've told this story before. In 2004, we had a house fire and it burned our house pretty much down. And it was a Sunday. We were at church, of course. And got a call and it's on fire. I said, well, put it out. I thought it was some little thing, you know. My son called me and said, the house is on fire. Well, put it out. Don't bother me. I'm at church. He said, you don't understand. It's a big fire. I said, okay. Well, I had to leave the platform, and at that time I told the pastor I got to go. And I could tell it was a big fire because I could see the smoke way before I got even down the street. There was this plume going up. When I came, I beat the fire people. I got there from church, and there were still no fire people there, right? No fire people there. And my wife's car was outside the house. It was about maybe 2 feet from the garage, and it was a brand. She'd only had it 6 months. And, of course, the house is going up in flames. And finally, the fire people came, and then she didn't even come till after church. After church was finished, a bunch of the church people came, and they came down the road, and I saw her coming, and the neighbor was standing with me, and he's looking at my wife in the car, and she's smiling. And he says to me, your wife is smiling. And I was very worried because she's smiling, and I'm calm and collected. I'm thinking, they're thinking, these people set their house on fire. Why would they be smiling? Why would they be smiling? Can't they see their whole house is burning up? And my wife was smiling. I almost was like, don't smile. Look sad. look broken up. Shed some tears or something, because they're going to think we did this. Because that's not what we're supposed to look like. God supernaturally gave us Jehovah Shalom that day. And the reporter came and he shoved a mic in my face. You know, they like to see you cry and get all sad. And I told him, all things worked. And he quoted, he put it in the paper. Christopher has that newspaper. I have to have him bring it here one day. Christopher has, because he said, I'm going to write something, so you should speak to me. So I said, okay, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I told him that, and he wrote it in the newspaper. And all that happened was God gave us a bigger, better house. Jehovah Shalom. Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I find myself. When you have the peace of God, it passes human understanding. They were looking at my wife and her car, her brand new car, outside the house, got on fire, started to burn from the front down. And I'm thinking, I hope the fire people come soon because it might explode, you know. But it was totaled. It was completely totaled. And she's over there smiling. And I was trying to say to her, I couldn't tell her not to smile. But in my heart, I was thinking, I wish you would stop that. They're going to think we did this. Yes, he did. We got reimbursed for the car, and then the insurance guy came after the fire was out, and he said, you know, you were underinsured. Just to put some topping on the cake. What he was saying is, you don't have enough money to rebuild this. But God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. The name of the Lord, it's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. Amen. There's a long story to that, but I won't tell it today. Let's go on. Here's another name, and you all know this one. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra'ah. When you can say, honestly, the Lord is my shepherd, you know what that means? You're following him because you're a sheep. That means you are innocent. That means wherever the shepherd tells you to go, you go. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because the good shepherd cares for the sheep. He leads them to pastures. He protects them against the wolves. Amen? So when you can say, call that name, Jehovah Ra'ah, and you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you're saying a lot. Amen. You're saying you belong to the flock. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And another, they're not going to follow. Amen. That's why, and I'm not the chief shepherd. I'm just the, that's why I'm never worried if people want to go somewhere. Because it's not my flock. It's his flock. And if the shepherd says, come and you go, that means you're not belonging to the flock. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I told you the story, and I even preached the message about this sheep that ran away. You remember that one? And he got tired of being shared, I guess. You know, he got tired of being shared, and he ran away. So now I'm free. I can go where I want, do what I want. But the thing was, he had no one to share him. And so the wool kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And after 7 years, the wool weighed as much as his body. He could hardly eat. Luckily, they found this one sheep. And when they found him, he was doubled. He could hardly even, he was about to die. He didn't realize it, that he needed a shepherd. The stuff that he didn't like, the sharing, taking off the wool, was what was actually keeping him alive. He didn't realize that the longer he went away from the shepherd and the sharing, the wool just kept on growing and growing and burdening him down and burdening him down. You see, the shepherd is going to restore your soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Let me say it again. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not because it's where I want to go. The path of righteousness is sometimes the valley of the shadow of death. It's still the path of righteousness if he's leading you. If he's leading you. Yea. Yes. That's what David is saying. The path of righteousness. Yes, even though sometimes it leads into the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, let's say it together, surely. Say it like you believe it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, not away from it. Amen. They run into it and are safe. Amen. I'm running out of time. Let's go to the next name. Jehovah Tisakenu, the Lord our righteousness. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, it was called the breastplate of judgment. But in the New Testament, Paul in Ephesians tells us we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. His righteousness. He wants us to put on his righteousness. I'm not holy because of me. I'm holy because of him. If I've separated myself. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture because we're running out of time. Jeremiah 23:4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. What this prophecy is about, it's talking about the millennial kingdom. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. This is where the prophecy comes from. This was the branch that made the water sweet in Exodus. This is speaking of a messianic title for Jesus Christ. One of his titles is the righteous branch. That's why you need that righteous branch in your soul if your water is bitter. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus is become our righteousness because God does not look at us. He is looking at the work of Jesus Christ. He has become our substitute. As Abraham said all the way back, that the Lord himself shall provide the sacrifice. The Lord has become our righteousness. And that's why, another favorite scripture, Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly to a throne of grace, there to obtain mercy. That's what I need. Mercy. That's what I need, mercy. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. My best day is no good. My best worship is lacking. My best prayers are short. But he, the Lord, has become our righteousness, our covering, our banner, our peace, our healing. Isn't that great? You just pick one. What do you need today? What do you need today? Amen. Do you need some peace? Jehovah Shalom. Amen. You don't know what direction to go? Jehovah Ra'ah. Amen. You need some healing? Jehovah. Amen. Gonna test you. You feel naked? You need a covering? Jehovah Nissi. All right. Amen. Let's turn this heat up. If it's off here, let me turn it up. It says it's 70. Amen. Some of you are fanning, some of you are cold. Amen. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Amen. We need to have these names of God because, as Proverbs say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. All right, let's go on. Jehovah Shammah. That's one of the important ones. You know what it means? The Lord is present. The Lord is present. This is again in Ezekiel speaking about the millennial city, the final earthly temple in Ezekiel 48:31. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi. And it's described, I'm not going to read all the scriptures because we are running out of time. Verse 35, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Let's stand today. I'm not going to finish this, but I've gone through the seven names. Next week, I plan to go through seven more names. But this is related to what Jesus called himself. Seven times he said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I'm not going to preach it now, but next week we'll continue the names of God. Amen. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. Pick one of those seven. If you got a situation, if you need some peace, if you need some healing, hallelujah, if you need some covering, you can call upon the name of Jesus. As I said, David had the most powerful weapon that Goliath couldn't see. They're sending me out this youth. Look at him. The Bible said he disdained him because he couldn't see what he was carrying. The devil and your enemy will not be able to see that you have the name of the Lord. That's what it says in Revelation. I will write my name on their forehead. Amen. God has written his name. He has sealed us. And if we have that and we are under his banner, then we can never be defeated. Hallelujah. I'm trying to encourage you today. Say it one more time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it are safe. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Let it encourage. Let it edify. Let it build up. Let our faith stand upon your word and upon your name. Hallelujah. We thank you today for blessing us, for seating us in heavenly places. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Amen. God bless you. Let's look forward to what God has for us in the second service. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.